I want you to think about for a moment, in the age in which we live, oftentimes profitability is the biggest thing people look for. How can I make a dollar? How can I make a dime? And yet the reality is sometimes people take advantage. They do it the wrong way. And as a result, other people suffer from that. And during this study we've been in on the second missionary journey of Paul, one of the things we have seen is that there are sometimes those who go at things differently than perhaps we would choose. And today we come to one of those places where this story so connects into all that we are experiencing as a church family, all that God has in store for us. And this past week, I had the privilege of meeting two people who are trainers and equippers for Precept Ministry. They're in charge of the entire Eurasian impact across Europe and Asia. And I had the privilege of being able to sit down with them and fellowship with them a few moments before I preached in a village church. And as I was visiting with them, I recognized that this was a picture of people who had made the choice, watch this, to be profitable in things that money could not buy. And they began to share, and I began to ask them, tell me about where you've been. Tell me what you've been doing. Tell me what countries you've been to. And tell me what it is that you have gleaned during this last year. Well, they began to share amazing stories. It was interesting what it all came down to. For those who are willing to suffer, they are the ones who are experiencing the greatness of God. I ask about what countries. You see, we only get to see what the media tells us. But beneath the surface, the gospel is spreading all over the world. In many places, some of which I can't name, God is moving in amazing ways. And as I began to listen to them talk, one of the things I realized very quickly was that they were sharing a principle. And the principle was that you and I must choose to surrender to sacrifice. In other words, let it become a way of life for us, that we would do more with our lives. And you know, it's not easy being sacrificial. Not easy going beyond ourselves. And yet the reality is what they were saying was that if you surrender to sacrifice, and as you surrender, something will happen, something will begin to happen inside of you, that all of a sudden you'll begin to experience what God intended for you from the day you became his child. You see, we live in an age of great prosperity, even with an economic downturn. We are so many thousands of miles ahead of the rest of the world, with a few exceptions. We're so blessed. And the places that they told me that God was at work, it's interesting to hear the reflections. You ever wanted to go to Siberia? Not me. God doing an amazing thing. We read in the news about Egypt, what's happening there. The election of a president. What we would never read in the news, that thousands are turning to Jesus because they know religion cannot fill them up. And so when we think about all through history, there have been God moving through people who surrender to sacrifice, who are willing to go beyond themselves. These two people will leave this world with nothing materially, but they may leave as two of the richest people who ever lived in the world. Because you know what they're going to have to take with them? Trophies of grace that are connected to impacting the lives of people all over the world. So today I want to challenge you to look at this story in amazing, because here's a story really of a little girl who is imprisoned by what the adversary has chosen to do with her. And then we find a man who is faithful, who's in prison for doing what is right. And what I want you to see today is that we all need to see that as we walk through this whole concept of getting our faith and putting it into action, moving forward with our faith, we've got to be willing to evaluate some things. And I want to ask you, when you think about your own life today, when's the last time you surrendered to something? Just said, you know what, Lord? I don't understand it all, but I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to go there. Take that step. When's the last time you sacrificed? You literally said, you know what? I'll do without that so that this person can have that. You see, the reality is it's hard for us to grasp that, isn't it? We have been so accustomed to having so much. And what we'll discover today is that there are lots of people who are in prison. In prison to what they face spiritually, in prison to what they face materially, in prison to what they face socially. You just name it, people are in prison. And yet, there's something that you and I need to glean out of this. And so today I want to kind of take you through Acts chapter 16. And if you open your Bible there, you'll find yourself at the 16th verse. And if you'll recall a couple weeks ago, as we were moving in through this text, we very clearly saw that there was a call that rang out that said, come over here, that Paul responded to. and began to move forward with his responsibilities. And so let's begin reading, if we could, in Acts chapter 16, verse 16. And let's look and see and understand, if we can, what was transpiring at this time. Verse 16, it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, now you got to stop there and remember something. What had happened to place of prayer the last time they went? Lydia had come to Christ, okay? So obviously every time they were moving towards the place of prayer, they weren't going there to say, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. They were going for something much more significant than that. They were going asking for God to move from heaven and change lives. And what you discover is, when we come to the place where we learn to pray like they prayed in this missionary journey, we will see God move. And let me tell you what I believe. There are some secret prayer warriors here that are praying over what God is doing through our church in different mission points. And I'll illustrate for you in a moment. Because oftentimes someone will say, we have 28 people on mission in Romania. Oh, no, no. We have 400 people on mission. Some are here, some are there. We're all on mission. And what you discover is they came to this place of prayer. And what happens here? Notice what happened. A slave girl having a spirit of divination met us. In other words, she was demon-possessed, who was bringing her masters much profit, watch this, by fortune-telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. She continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope of a profit, notice it, was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities, and when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, these men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans. The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. Verse 24, And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, don't miss this, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now stop for a second, think about this. You get beat, you get arrested, you get thrown into the innermost part of the prison, your feet are shackled. They're not sitting there going, oh man, what a rough life. Look what's happened to us. We are in such difficulty. They instead are beginning to sing praise to God. And everyone in there, can you imagine the most hardened criminals going, how can a person be singing to God? Don't miss what you see here. I'm going to show you more about that in a moment. Look on if you would. So what happens? They're singing in verse 26, and suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he had brought them out, said to them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, I want you to imagine for a second. Here's a guy about to kill himself. And what happens when he realizes what he thought transpired didn't? He asked the question, sir, what must I do to be saved? And listen carefully. The whole world is trying to ask that question. Impoverished children in orphanages in other places. One little boy that I had the chance to be able to talk to the sponsor with in Ukraine, he was only 8 when he was raped in an orphanage. 8. That little boy has been running. He has been running since he was 12 now. 4 years. He's looking for hope. As I began to counsel and encourage the folks who are trying to help him, I began to point them to the only thing that would help him get beyond what he was feeling. And that is the hope that rests in Christ. just like the two boys who live in a village in a remote part of Ukraine. Two little boys who somebody one day came by and said, guess what? Guess what? We have something going on our church that could help you. Those two little boys began walking 7 kilometers each way every day to discover what God had for them. You ask yourself, what is this picture of? It's a picture of sacrifice. It's a picture of surrendering. And I want to say to you that we as God's people have the privilege of being able to help people who are caught up in prison. In fact, I want to ask you today, do you know anybody who's ever been captured and put in an inner prison? In other words, it's inside, internally. They're captured by regret. They're captured by unforgiveness. They're captured by pain. They're captured by difficulty. Well, here we find the story of a little girl who's captured by something much greater than that. Because the reality is that the adversary has taken up residence in the life of this little girl. And as a result, she is used as a tool of profitability for these men. Used just to be abused. You see, you may wonder, why do we want to reach into the hearts of orphans in other places? Maybe you should read the news this last week where you discover that many of these kids are being killed to harvest their organs. We have to give them hope. We have to give them direction. You see, the reason we go is because we realize some people are in prison. And when you think about it, this little girl is in prison. She's a young girl. She's in prison. And what you and I need to understand is there are people that are in all kinds of prisons. Sometimes we think of only the prison that has bars. Listen carefully. I meet people every week. They're in prisons far greater than any structural place. You see, when a person finds himself in the bondage of unforgiveness and pain and difficulty and heartache, with nowhere to turn, it becomes a prison to them. They turn toward drugs, they turn towards alcohol, they turn toward different things, all looking for an answer. And this story helps us see how important it is that we come forward with the answer that will change their lives. But then you have to ask yourself, have you ever seen anyone mistreated for the sake of the gospel? And that's what you see with Paul, because Paul ends up getting beat because he's been willing to do what God's called him to do. And oftentimes we forget how many people are mistreated, how many people have been willing to pay the ultimate price to move forward with life and to make a difference with others. And yet the reality is God uses both. He'll use a little girl in a prison cell, or in the prison of her own demonic impression was transpiring with her. He'll also use a man who's faithful to God to accomplish his purpose. So today I want us to look into what we really see as the core concept here, and that is the intensity of the challenges that we face. I mean, when you think about, here's a story of two very, very intense challenges must not deter us from accomplishing God's purpose for our lives. I mean, we can't let some challenge get in our way. As we look at it and we think about it, I mean, how many things do we allow to get in the way of our purpose? How many times do we allow how we feel or what we think to get in the way of what He intends for our lives, what He wants to do? I spent 2 days in Ukraine where the temperature was just like it is here. The only difference is what you hear running on the roof is not on their roofs. It was so hot that as soon as I'd walk into the room, I would have a layer of sweat on me. And the intensity of it was so overwhelming, the temperature. And I thought to myself, how am I going to be able to breathe during these days? But then I asked the Lord, let me do what it is You call me to do. Let the intensity of this heat motivate me to help these people do what it is they need to do. You see, I sat and listened to the testimony of a girl, 25 years old, who we're able to support and help in Ukraine. She was helping a family of 5 children. Both the parents were stricken with alcoholism, very, very bizarre family environment. So she went in to help them. When she went in, one of the girls was young, and she found her doing the wrong thing. She challenged her, you shouldn't be doing this. It's not God's best for your life. The very same thing we ought to be doing in our culture, to tell teenagers and kids they shouldn't be doing the wrong thing. Listen, when we start affirming what is wrong, we're destroying the fiber of a nation. And here, all of a sudden, she says to this little 15-year-old kid, you're doing the wrong thing. They jump on her and beat her. She begins to tell me the story of being beaten by the very kids that she loved. She was trying to help. You know what's interesting? Did she quit going? No, because her love captured their hearts. and they realized if anybody's willing to love me beyond us beating her, then there's something different about her than anybody else we've ever met. You see, what you and I need to see today is we got to be willing to surrender to sacrifice. So let's look at this story. Let's see how it unfolds in each one of our lives. And I want to, as the message unfolds, I'm going to give you some summation of some of the things that God is doing. But I hope you've already heard me say two very significant things. One is, if we are to be who God intends for us to be, with our families, with our children, with our mates, with our country, we've got to surrender to sacrifice. We've got to be willing to do whatever it takes. That's why oftentimes somebody will say to me, you know, I sure seem to get a lot of letters from people who ask for support to go on a mission trip. Thank God in heaven you have the privilege, because that's your opportunity to carry the gospel forward. And yet what you and I need to see is God's at work in our lives. And listen, if he's blessed you, he's blessed you for a reason. He didn't bless you just to be hanging on to your blessing. He blessed you to give it away, make a difference with somebody else's life. That's what makes life rich and meaningful. You see, the reality is those girls in Ukraine, the people in any place, like, they're not going to make any money to speak of. They're not in it for the money. They're in it to accomplish God's purpose. And that's what you discover about this story, because the first people who are in the story are in it for their own good, for their own profit. So let's look at this story. Let's let it unfold as we see. The first thing we see is a slave girl who is in need of freedom, in need of freedom. Because here's a girl who, obviously, when you look at the story, she is suffering greatly. In fact, when you look at verse 16, the Bible says that she had a spirit of divination. In fact, when you look at the Greek there, the Bible says she had a python spirit. In other words, she was greatly encumbered by the adversary. And I'll say a word about this aspect of life in a moment. But she was greatly encumbered. And when you look at it, you really see that her life had basically become a pathway for profits to someone else. In fact, I mentioned a moment ago, you wonder why we reach out to orphan kids and all. Do you realize that 50% of them will end up in prostitution without Jesus? Let me tell you, you go hug an 8-year-old girl like Mia that I hugged, whose pain is greater than she could ever define. You look into her eyes and you ask yourself the question, would I do anything it would take to help her not give her life away? And the answer is absolutely yes. You see, when this church started, we had mission work going on in these places from our previous church. And every aspect of that mission work was dropped in a moment. We picked it all up. We said we'll do it, and it doesn't make a bit of sense to do it because we don't have the money to do it. But God had a bigger plan. God had a way to open the door. And what I'm saying to you, sometimes when things look like they're not supposed to happen, they are going to happen because God is going to work. He's going to move. This girl, she was a person who had opened the doors to someone else's profitability. Isn't that a sad, horrific way to think about someone living? Yet we live in that very age in our day, all across the world. That's why we have a responsibility to the world. And let me say this to you. If our world gets so self-centered that all we see is our world, God help every one of us. God help every one of us. Because what that really says is, we're zeroing in on the big eye. And the big eye stinks. That is not God's best for our life. It should be instead our focus on touching lives. And for this girl, listen carefully. What happens to her? She starts following Paul behind him. And in fact, when you look, notice how she says this. Notice, she's saying the truth, but the reality is she's saying it in the wrong way. These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Now, does that not sound like when you read verse 17, she's saying the right thing? She is. But listen carefully. Without Jesus, it's an antagonistic voice. And what you discover here is this antagonistic voice pointed out her turmoil in life. And listen carefully. When you meet somebody who has an antagonistic perspective about life, who has surrendered to something less than God's very best for their life, what you're probably going to hear coming out of them is some antagonistic thought that's disconnected from God's purpose. And so today, if we look at our own lives, how often do we allow something to come at us and take away the real direction and hope that God's given us? You see, this girl, she needed freedom. Don't you know in our day and time, you look across our culture, we've got more kids on drugs than we ever have. We've got them taking prescription drugs, and we've got them, listen carefully, we have them drinking hand sanitizer. Can you fathom what we have done in this culture to let someone find a way to escape from their pain, to ease the pain they feel? What are they going to do next? I mean, what do they do? And they're all, listen carefully, people are in pain looking for freedom. And only freedom, the only freedom that ever changes anybody's life is Jesus. Let's look on, though, because I want to show you what happened. Paul obviously responds, because there is a confrontation. This girl is getting under Paul's skin. I want to ask you a question. Do you have anybody that irritates you? Maybe your pastor at this point. The truth is, it's easy for somebody to get under your skin sometime. And they can say it just a certain way. And what happens to you? You light up, don't you? Because of the way they say it. And all of a sudden your pressure elevates. You can feel your blood flowing to your brain because they got under your skin. Well, you can imagine this girl. The Bible says for many days she would follow behind him and say, these are the men who are talking about salvation from God. Now, remember now, the profitable people, they're thinking it doesn't matter what she says because she's saying something here that maybe will make us more money. And I want you to see this, and I want to say just a word to you about the spiritual battle that we all must fight. When you look at it, there are two things I want you to see here, because this is in essence what the confrontation led to. Because what does Paul say? He tells the Spirit, get out of her. And she's set free. She's set free from all that she's been under. And here's what I want you to see. When you look at this girl's life, what you see is that she only had one thing that controlled her heart, and it's terror. Terror controlled her heart. She was terrified. She was terrified by what she was facing, what she was going through. And that terror seemed to steal away every bit of direction and hope she would have. But what happens? In a moment, a single word of get out, does what? Truth transforms her heart. And I want you to see this parallel, because I want you to see and understand how important it is that we as God's people stay very focused on the fact that we live in a world of great terror. There's terror everywhere. All kinds of things transpire. But we also live in a day where truth can transform the heart of anybody, anywhere, at any time. That's why during this week, when God's people have been praying here, 500 children have been ministered to in Romania. That's why 47 people have come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ over this last week. Amen. Is that not an exciting thing to be thanking the Lord? People who went from hopelessness to hope because they found Christ. People were terrorized by their circumstances. All of a sudden, surrendered to Jesus. I had one of these surreal moments on Sunday night preaching in the largest church in that area that I've been to every year for the last 10 years. In the middle of that, when we sat down, they have these sitting way up high because the only way you can get it, and you got three balconies, so there's only way, or two balconies, the only way to see everyone is to get it real high. And I started just glancing around, and everybody who had been saved in one of the Sundays when I was in that country during these last 10 years, almost everyone were in that service. And I would catch the eye. I caught the eye of a single lady whose husband had walked away from her last year. She gave her heart to Christ. And she was in this balcony, way up in the balcony. And she was looking at me until I caught eye contact with her. She had the biggest smile all across that room. And you know what I saw? Every time I looked, I said to myself, God's up to something really amazing. You see, when you think about it, 40-plus pastors were encouraged. 11 different churches heard the gospel while we were there. They've done great things. 150 orphans, for the first time in their life, had a carnival yesterday. They had fun. They realize that Jesus gives us a lot of fun in life. And you know, while we're very serious about our responsibility, we're also very joyful in what we do. Because these children need a smile. Because a smile says we love and care about you. And so what you and I need to do today is we need to think about our own lives and ask ourselves, how much truth is transforming our hearts? Now, obviously, I want to take just a second here to say a word about this girl, because this girl was facing something much more challenging than a normal environment. She was facing what the Bible talks about as someone being possessed by a demon. In other words, that the adversary was at work in her life in an amazing way. So I want to take a moment, because you maybe ask yourself, man, I don't ever want to run anything like that in my lifetime. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 6. Just turn back to your right just a moment. Because Paul lays out the instruction for how we deal with these very challenging parts of life. So as you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to realize that this helps you see that God's plan and God's way is very clearly directed in His Word about how to deal with anything that comes at us. Because here's what you're going to discover by the time we finish these verses. Every battle you face is not what you see in flesh and blood. It's always far greater than that. Look, if you would, verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, now remember now, what has he said to the church at Ephesus? He's told them it's by grace they are saved. He's told them how the family is supposed to function in Ephesians 5 and marriage and relationship. He's told them a lot of things. But when he gets to verse 10 of chapter 6, it's here he says, if you're going to make this all work, you better understand these principles. And let me just say this to you. If you don't live Ephesians 6, you will someday encounter a battle bigger than you want to. So look at it, if you would, with me. Finally, to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full, notice that, the word full armor of God, so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to what? Stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf. And he goes on to talk about how he asked God to open his mouth and let him be guided. Now I want you to think about this for a second. What does he say here succinctly? He uses two words three times to make sure we didn't miss something, and that is stand firm. Stand firm. And here's what he's trying to say to you and me. We will face spiritual battles, but if we stand firm, no matter how difficult the tide is pushing against us, no matter what it is coming our way, if we put on the breastplate of righteousness, if we put on the helmet of salvation, if we put up the shield of faith, what does he say here? It will stop all the fiery darts of the devil. Now, here's what I want you to see. If you are getting waylaid on a regular basis, the odds are you don't have on the full armor. In other words, you put down the shield of faith and started doubting. You have missed the best of what it is God has for you. And as a result, you get whacked. And so here's what I want to encourage you. You want to quit getting whacked in life? Put on the full armor, and you'll have a lot better life. And I wanted you to make sure you understood that as we process through this text, that for this little girl, obviously, she had no idea. We know none of the background of what transpired regarding the story. All we know is that Paul made a very powerful statement, told her, get out of her. And as a result, she was free. Let's look on, though. Back to Acts chapter 16. Let's look where the story carries us. Look at verse 19. It's here that things get really, really challenging because look what happens. When her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them in the marketplace before the authorities. When they brought them to the magistrate, they said, and these men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews. It's interesting what happened. When something doesn't work the way someone else wants it, but they always have this mindset that says, well, these people are messing up everything. In fact, look at chapter 17. Look over at it just for a second. And look at it, if you would, at verse 6. Here they come finding that looking for him again in Thessalonica, because what are they doing? The Bible says, look at the latter part of that verse. These men who have upset the world have come here also. Now here's what you discover. These men who God has equipped to make a difference in the world are stirring up everything. They're stirring it up and making a difference there. And what you discover here is, here's this inevitable conflict. I want you to see this. The third thing I want you to see. There's an inevitable conflict that occurs when challenging the world. In other words, it ain't going to be easy. 14 of our group landed in Venice without a ticket to go on into Romania. And I told the group before they left that I sensed God was going to do something amazing through all of them and anticipate a few challenges with that. But when they got to Venice, 14 of them, they said, you don't have a ticket. Now, we know they had a ticket. We bought them a ticket. So they had a ticket. They just didn't show it on their computer. And so it's interesting what transpired. And anyone who was on that group will tell you this story when they get home. There was one little girl who worked for Delta who came up and said to them, I'm your friend. Eased all their anxiety, took away all their concern. And that girl single-handedly walked them through the entire process of being rebooked They had to fly for hours and lay over for hours. They left Venice. They went to Vienna. They went from Vienna. They went to Munich. From Munich, they came to the Roman. They had a lot of travel. They had a lot of challenge there. But what you see is, what did God do with them when they got there? He used them to impact lives. And here's what I want you to see. It's inevitable that we're going to face challenges. If anyone here hadn't faced a challenge, something's wrong with you. Because that's what makes life worth living, doesn't it? I mean, I'm sitting in my bed. I did not sleep the night before, and my phone rings at 1 o'clock in the morning, and it's my sweet, dear, wonderful wife saying the air conditioner's broke. And I hadn't slept the night before. And I'm like, what? And all my circulation in my brain, all the blood went to one place. I was like, air broke, middle of the night. What do I do? Well, you know, as I started working through that, I realized, you know what? That's just an inevitable challenge we face. Pretty expensive challenge, by the way, that you face when you're somewhere else. But we get to the fourth day of Bible school. Two little girls were there, sweet, precious girls. And we have a boy from an orphanage who is a thief. And we know him as a thief. I've dealt with him numerous times. He's a thief. Stole these two girls' phone. And he's a very good thief, by the way. He's learned his trade very well. He steals their phones, throws their SIM cards out, and goes and sells them. The market's only about 3 blocks away, and he can make $100 that quick. In fact, the same little boy that George and Christy send things to. So I went to see him. I said, you know what? I'm coming to tell you that I'm going to see you in prison. He looked at me. I said, yeah, you know what? You're going to prison. Now, you're either going to go now or later, because the reality is you are messing up what we're trying to do, because we've got girls over there crying because their phones are stolen. He said, I didn't steal anything. I said, oh, really? So the $5,000 you stole yesterday next door, you didn't steal? Oh, no, I didn't steal that either. Oh, really? So the $2,000 you stole from a friend of mine, that didn't get, nope, I didn't steal that either. And I looked at him and said, son, you have a big problem. And I said, you know, last year you said you gave your heart to Jesus. I can tell you right now, if you did, you didn't meet the same Jesus I know. And you see, the truth is, those little girls, they were crying, weeping. I looked at those girls and said, let me tell you something, I'm going to teach you the most important lesson you ever learned in life, and I want us, the church family, to learn it too. Your cell phone is worthless. Your house, another thing, they are of no comparison to the value of your soul. And I taught that little girl, I said, let me tell you something, young lady, who, by the way, has become my friend on Facebook since I bought her a new phone. She wanted to be my friend, you know. So I thought, well, at least I got a friend out of the deal. I looked at her and I said, I want you to learn something. We all lose things. I said, I dropped my phone and broke it and shattered the screen just talking to Sonny on the phone before I left, trying to do too many things at one time. These are tangible things. They're not what you live for. You live for what is eternal. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. These men here, they live for everything that was temporal. Give me another buck. Give me another dollar. Corrupt. And what you see is it's inevitable. There's a challenge there. And so what happens here? The girl set free. Profitability is replaced with freedom. There was all of a sudden, she's free. I mean, and what happened? By the way, she can no longer do what they intended for her to do, because when Jesus is in you, the devil can have one square inch of who you are. That's what transpired. So profitability disappeared. And I want you to look at verse 20, though, because what do? They start dragging them out. They start pulling them out. They start throwing them, and they start beating on them. And here's what I want you to see. Those who live in the flesh never understand God's way. Never. Doesn't make any sense. And as a result, they get thrown in prison. But I want you to stop for a second and think about this. Just think about yourself. And when you find yourself at this point where all of a sudden you realize you're beat, you're in trouble, you've gone through difficulty, you come away with a great understanding of what Paul teaches here. And that was, personal pain never has to get in the way of God's plan. We all go through different pains. We all go through different things. And my encouragement to you today, and I hope that I'm really striking a chord with you, about this whole idea of surrendering to sacrifice. In fact, when I wrote it down in my Bible, I wrote down, surrender to sacrifice and be willing to suffer for something greater than yourself. Because it made me realize that when we reach into these kids' lives, we're willing to do whatever it would take to help them grow to become like Jesus. But when the profitability's gone, what do? They get thrown in prison, don't they? That's the fourth and final thing I want you to see. Because their personal freedom is exhibited best in the midst of prison. Because look at verse 25. What do? They begin to sing. They begin to sing. And it's midnight. And they're in there. All of a sudden, they start praying and singing hymns of praise to God. and the prisoners were listening to them. You know, you can't miss that part of this verse, can you? Can you imagine they're hardened criminals all around them? They start praying. Which, by the way, do you think anybody messed with Paul and Silas in jail? I promise you, they would walk by and go, I don't think so. They'd already heard about the little girl. They didn't want to mess with him at all. But what you see here, in the middle of prison, they were free. And what I want you to see is just two or three things as we wrap this together. Everyone there was hearing freedom song. You see, there is a song that sets us free. There's a song that speaks to who we are and guides us through life. And when that song is sung, it sets us free completely. Can you imagine how free Paul was in the midst of being in jail? But what you discover is, when you're in the middle of God's will, what transpires? Sometimes even an earthquake. So an earthquake comes, shakes the entire place. And when you look at that earthquake, I mean, it says that everything, the doors, verse 26, were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. Had to be a pretty strong earthquake, didn't it? To shake all that loose. But here's what I want you to not miss. God will shake up anything for his glory. If it's going to come to his glory, he's going to shake it up. He's going to make it happen. He'll shake things up. You see, every once in a while, we need an earthquake in our lives. We need something to stir the very essence of who we are, to shake us up. You see, when I come back, I recognize something. I realize that what's happened to me didn't happen to you because you weren't there. But what do I bring home with you? A message to shake you up a little bit. To think about who you are. Think about how God's blessed you. Think about how responsible you are. And I think you heard me say that when we have 28 go somewhere, we have more than 28 going. We got a group going to Argentina coming up. We got groups going to Tanzania. It's not that handful of people that God selected to actually go. It's we as a body are all stirred and shaken to accomplish his purpose. And so they're all free, even though they're in prison. But it's an interesting thing. They don't leave. I want to ask you a question. If you've been beaten, I'm sure spit at, confronted, and all of a sudden you're set free. I don't know if you're like me, but I'd probably run. I mean, didn't it sound like a great idea? I mean, all of a sudden you got your freedom again. They didn't go anywhere. What do? They instead commit themselves to making sure this guy hears what it takes to make life worth living. In fact, when you look at it, this jailer watched the miraculous unfold before his very eyes, and it staggered his very mind. And what I want you to see here is how powerful the gospel is. I'm going to tell you what's happened to us as a culture. We have forgotten the power of the gospel. We believe that if we just teach everybody how to be a little bit better and do a few more good things, and we don't offend anybody, listen carefully, offend the fire out of them. Why not set somebody on fire with the reality that without Jesus, they're hopeless? You know what we have done? We have slowly, listen, we have slowly slipped into a postmodern cultural mindset that says we do not have the privilege to tell anybody else what Christ has done in us, and that is a lie from the pits of hell. Amen? We have responsibility. We have a responsibility to tell people what God's hope is all about and what his plan's all about and what we're surrendered to. And listen carefully. If everybody in here just picks somebody to tell them that Jesus loves them, that he has a plan for their life, what you discover is they would magnetically be pulled towards you. They would be responsive to you because they realize you're telling about something they don't have. And what you and I need to see today, as we sit in this church service and we think about who we are, we are either self-centered or Jesus-centered. That's the only two choices we get. We either get what it is that we want or we get what he wants. And I don't know what all God has in store for me, but I can tell you this. As long as I have breath, when it comes to an orphan child who's never been hugged by a man with love, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to tell them what Christ can do. I'm going to tell them what the blessed hope is all about. And you and I, if we hear anything out of this service, this whole idea, listen, the most profitable thing that we could ever do is to take somebody with us to heaven, to touch somebody's heart with the gospel. And you know what we do? Listen carefully. We have shied away from the gospel so much that when you look at statistics, 50% of those who claim Jesus don't even understand the gospel. That's why, for example, Lifeway Resources, they're having to create an entire curriculum called Gospel Project, because half the people who claim Jesus don't even know what Jesus is about. Now, isn't that a scary thought? But it's where we're at. And let me just say to you, when you look at this story, and I hope you don't miss the essence of this message, and that is we ought to all be willing to surrender to something that's sacrificial, that gets us, that takes us to where he wants us to be. And it brings us back to the very point of why we're here. And that is, you could very well be in this building without Jesus. Without Jesus. And if that's the case, then the reality is, you may be sitting there saying, you know, I want to learn the system of what this church is about. We have no system. We have Jesus. Okay? We are not some organized church that puts you through 12 steps to get you to where you need to be. We have one step. Give it all to Jesus, and he'll change your life forever. Amen? That's what One Heart's all about. And if you're here and you've never given your heart to him, let me just say to you, I can't imagine living in this world without the hope of all hopes. I can't imagine it, but you can have it by just being willing to say to him, Lord, I want you in my life. You may also be here, and the Lord's been saying to you, you need to get involved in a church. And you know, you may be sitting there saying, you know, I'm not sure I can be in a church that preaches that hard. Well, you sure don't want to join then, because the reality is, as the world gets more corrupt, we must lift him up higher and higher and higher. Amen? Because as we lift him up higher, he'll draw all men unto himself. And I tell you what we've done. We've done in Christianity, we create a celebrity who shine really bright for a moment, and they fall so quickly. And let me tell you, there are no celebrities going to be a part of what this church is about. Because this church is about the only one who really can make it happen. His name is Jesus. And we're going to live that way as long as we live. And I'm going to tell you, I have great affirmation from God that what he wants to do through us and in us and for us far exceeds what we could imagine. And I keep hearing him say, tell the people, it's all about me. And if we get that, we'll see great things happen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the joy of being able to be in your house on this day, to look at your word, allow it to speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to see that there are little girls like this little girl in the Bible walking all over our land. Help us realize the only answer to the adversary is the one who is more powerful, that can conquer anything thrown at him. That is the Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for the grace that lives inside of our lives. And Lord, I think about what we looked at today. Lord, we as your people need to be very focused on accomplishing your purpose. And for our group that is finishing up right now, they're in worship, they're in Grace Church in Lugos, Romania. Lord, I pray that you just empower every testimony, empower every part of the message. Lord, let it be blessed by you. And may every person who's there feel what we feel here, that we are one in you, one purpose, that is to surrender our lives to something sacrificial. And Lord, I know for a fact that for some here, it probably is very struggling inside of their own mindset to think that they should go beyond themselves, to go beyond where they are. And yet, Lord, that's your plan. And so, Lord, if there's someone here without you, may they give their heart to you today. We want to help them learn how to do that. And Lord, if there's someone here who needs to get their life committed to something, maybe they're wandering and they need you. They're wandering and they need you. Lord, speak to their hearts as well. And Lord, we ask you to move in this time and do what only you can do. In Christ's name, amen.